Dean Gormley here with you till 4 on RTE Lyric FM, where it's the very best of music from the movies and the musicals. We are live in Studio One in the RTE Radio Centre with the RTE Concert Orchestra leader, Brona Cahill, and our conductor, Stephen Bell. And we have a live studio audience.
Mary MacDonald spent time with members of the choir.
It was 1990s Ireland, and that is very important to our story.
We got up as Les McGay Choir singing, and there was an audible gasp from the audience.
Gloria, Dublin's lesbian and gay choir.
And you can feel that when you're standing on stage. It was like this collective. Because it was so unusual.
Homosexuality had just been legalised in 1993. Irish people had grown up with this whole idea that being gay meant being illegal, being wrong.
We deliberately changed the tagline to Dublin's Lesbian and Gay Choir so people would have to say it. Because people used to just say Gloria and wouldn't say Dublin's Lesbian and Gay Choir.
It was a time when saying that you were gay, that just wasn't something that was common, and it wasn't really accepted at all. It was something that wasn't even discussed. It was just very, very hush-hush under the carpet and don't talk about it.
It was a political statement without making a political statement. So you were there and you were standing and saying, we're Dublin's Lesbian and Gay Choir and we're doing this concert and we're here, and it's presenting a positive image of the community, I suppose, as well as obviously hopefully entertaining people with our singing.
Can you imagine how groundbreaking that was? This new choir going out into public and starting to perform. Each of the members looking out into that audience, knowing that they're being judged. Sometimes audience members just got up, walked out. But the Gloria members would stay on stage and would gather their courage and sing together.
I know for people in rural communities, for us to do that, it was a really good way of actually starting the discussion, you know, and saying, well, yeah, there's all those people, they're all lesbian and gay. And for them to be able to even bring their families. And again, you see, it's still a problem because people wouldn't like to be seen as just. But it was still a forum, and I suppose all you could do is sort of try to do that and try to provide that space for people.
Pauline joined the choir over 20 years ago.
Daddy, can you see Cold, please?
Slowly, in a dream, the boat man's tears and leaves behind the Donegal coast. The iron gates inscribed with the words St. Patrick's Purgatory and the chipped statue of St. Patrick, one palm opened. Thick falls of Norwegian spruce are falling away. White triangles milling whitely on the hills are falling away. And now there is only water. Deep tunnels of navy red water. Loch Derrick, lake of folk tales, lake of lost blood tales, distantly the island awaits.
And Hughie Travers Reel. And now we're going to play a tune called Peggy's Dream. And this tune is something that was brought to my attention by my friend Steve Cooney, and it was shortly after my mother Peggy had passed away. So he found this tune and he gave it to me and said, I think you should be playing this. And so we played around with it for quite a bit and eventually kind of settled on some understanding of it. And then when we recorded it with the band, I was looking for a title for the album, and I looked at all the titles of the tunes, and that looked like the nicest title we had by a long shot. So anyway, the album was then in memory of my mother, Peggy, and also in memory of my playing companion and partner, Dennis Cahill. So anyway, thank you. So, I would be lying if I didn't tell you that I find this whole experience quite emotional. And anyway, so I hope you will enjoy this beautiful old tune from the Goodman collection of music called Peggy's Dream.
But now we await the final playing of Mr. Dammerton. What are you going to play, by the way? Do you know?
Well, I was going to attempt, if I'm warmed up, I don't know yet, but The Flight of the Bumblebee.
Oh, that's all. Oh, yeah. And which version do you do? Do you do? Finian Collins' one goes on for about 2 minutes.
I think I'll do it in a minute and a half.
Will you?
Yeah. Okay. We'll have a competition, a healthy bit of
okay, I'll keep it on the clock.
Here we go. You give it on the clock.
Jeremy versus Finian.
Here we go. And they're off.
Well done to St. Pius X, the Girls National School Choir. What a beautiful song and a beautiful performance. Really, really well done. We have another announcement now. The winner of the Best Secondary School goes to Cor an Chruí, and that's the school competition choir for Loretto College in Mullingar. It was created last year by Miss Laura Cahill and Miss Claire Gilmartin, and the choir comprises of students from all year groups. So let's hear them now performing Carol of the Bells.
Ding dong ding dong, down to the sun. Ding dong ring dong, our wind.
With arias by Handel and Mozart, our own classical goddess, soprano Megan O'Neill. Well, ladies and gentlemen, from scenes of imperial intrigue, our next music takes us to the wide open spaces of what would be his final opera by Gioachino Rossini, a Swiss spectacular Guillaume Tell with its tale of the hero Archer. And boy, oh boy, the overture itself provides its own standalone drama, a musical portrait of life in the Alps. It opens to the gentle strains of dawn, but soon come the lowering growls of thunder and a storm erupts in fine force, replaced by a bucolic scene, a Ranz des Vaches, or Call to the Cows, and finally, Hi-Ho Silver!
Paul Herriot inviting you to join me for the finals of the Dublin International Piano Competition 2025, where three finalists compete for this prestigious title, each one performing a piano concerto with the National Symphony Orchestra under the baton of Jonas Alder. That's this Friday evening from 7 on RTE Lyric Live, or you can watch and hear the whole occasion on RTE Culture from 7:30.
Bird Songs on RTE Lyric FM with me, Sean Ronayne. A larger cousin of the familiar song thrush, mistle thrush is an early songster and one which we can listen out for in late winter from the tops of tall trees. It sounds a little bit like another cousin, the ubiquitous but equally wonderful blackbird. All three species are in fact members of the thrush family. Whilst the song of blackbird can be described as fluty, elaborate and highly melodic, mistle thrush, although similar, is slightly lower pitched, shorter versed and a touch desolate, but in a hauntingly beautiful kind of way. In fact, in my opinion, the Song of Mistletrush is one which we should all know and seek out. If you're starting out on your birdsong journey and want to hear something simple but special, this is the one for you. Mistletrush never fails to touch a spot in my soul, a spot that few other songs can access.
All the fun of the week, this time on Culture File. Molaine is the title of a new collection of tunes from the Fermanagh artist Rorsch. On it, Rorsch uses her voice and electronics to explore and update the ancient sound practices around keening the dead in Ireland. Molaine contains plenty of the shadowy sounds such a project might suggest, but also a strong waft of the incense of humour at the expense of such local shibboleths as the Angelus, RIP.ie and radio death notices, as Rorsch explained to Culture File.
Oh, 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 no.
In wakes, I've been to lots of different wakes and funerals where it's very solemn when it doesn't need to be, and it's sort of tokenistic. Like, to me, death is something exciting and should be celebrated, you know? Like, I've talked to lots of people studying the same thing, and they are excited for their wake. You know, it should be a big celebration. They're going to miss it, but who knows? Who knows if there are not? That's the exciting thing about it. It's just not taking it too seriously. It's not taking your own life too seriously then. It's celebrating everyone else's life, their life that they've had, and what a great thing that we can say that we have been alive. It shouldn't just be a whole solemnity festival. It should be a life festival.
Hello and welcome to the death notices. We are sorry to inform you, but there will be no death notices this morning.
And on the collection that you're releasing, there's quite a lot of making fun of some of the aspects of that surround religiosity anyway. One of the things that you have there is the death notices. How did they find a place in your heart? And a strange death notice at that.
It's mad that someone decided to say that. Like, it's because that's what it is. Maybe it's just a bit of excitement for people. Like, that, maybe that was the intention there with that presenter. I don't know. It's one that I heard on the radio. They didn't have a death notices. I just love how in Ireland we have such an obsession with the death notices and, you know, the scrolling on RIP.ie to see who's dead. And it's, you know, it's a constant thing in our house. And I'm sure lots of other people can resonate with it. You know, it's there's a game involved every time you see your mom. I guess who's dead now? And there's a bit of an obsession. I think it's great how we have an obsession with it. Maybe it's a bit of excitement that we don't want to admit. But yeah, like, we are very sorry to inform you that there'll be no death notices. Like, that was an actual quote from the radio. I could be a little, like, remnants of a colonised psyche, a zeitgeist that we're holding on to in a little way, our obsession with death. And there definitely is. It's a funny thing, like, and it should be made. I just felt like I needed to make fun of it a bit and have a bit of humour within the chaos of the catharsis of death.
You're listening to Weekend Classics with Claudia Boyle.
Many thanks, Simon. Claudia Boyle here with you until six and hopefully helping you digest that Sunday roast and unwind into the evening. You're very welcome to Weekend Classics. Do let me know what you're up to on 51554 or you can WhatsApp 087-463-4708 and the email is weekendclassics@rte.ie. I have a gorgeous show lined up for you today. We have some divos in the mix. We have Juan Diego Flores. Thomas Hampson is on the way too. We have Schumann, Tchaikovsky, all the good stuff, and a Chopin-inspired musical menu. So you'll just have to pop to the supermarket with your Chopin list for the yummy ingredients. And yes, I did go there. It's Sunday. You have to go there. Let's kick things off now with some Grigoras Dinichu and Ora Staccato. Many thanks for joining me today.
pygmy shrews. Pygmy shrews are Ireland's smallest mammal. These tiny creatures' most distinctive feature is their long, pointy nose. With their whiskers twitching and their long nose leading the way, pygmy shrews scramble through the tangles of bramble and bracken, forage under hedgerows and scrub, and scuttle about through leafy green woodlands. For a pygmy shrew, there are clear priorities in life: to eat and to avoid being eaten. So habitats with good ground cover are where shrews spend their time, nosing their way through rough grassland with thickets of wildflowers too. Pygmy shrews live wherever there is abundant insect prey, spending almost all their time hunting for insects to eat. Unlike rodents, which eat all sorts of things, pygmy shrews are insectivores, belonging to a family of mammals which eat only insects. An average pygmy shrew weighs about 6 grams, significantly smaller than a mouse. And because pygmy shrews are so little, their metabolic rate is extremely fast. Their tiny hearts beat 1,200 times per minute, the fastest heart rate of any mammal. Such a fast metabolism means that pygmy shrews need to eat almost constantly, gobbling up more than their own body weight each and every day.
Well, I thought I'd start tonight's programme with a little tribute to David Lynch. We played some tracks on Thursday night, but just was caught by surprise as such and didn't have enough music with me to do reasonably well. So there's half an hour of... I didn't overthink it. I didn't start thinking about chronology or all the films or all the TV. I just started, just threw some records on, half an hour. What you heard was Chorlando, Rebecca Del Rio, Sycamore Trees from Jimmy Scott, Grady Groove, Angelo Badalamenti featuring Grady Tate, Dave Brubeck. We had Three to Get Ready, I Love How You Love Me from the Paris Sisters before that, the Twin Peaks theme before that, Blue Velvet, the Isabella Rossellini version from the film, The Beast from Milt Buckner, and then from a Flying Lotus album called Flamagra, Fire Is Coming, Flying Lotus featuring David Lynch. And this is Audrey's Dance, concluding tonight's little musical tribute to the great man.
Philip Jones Ensemble playing Sousa, El Capitan, rounding off the scores. Thanks for your company. Back again next weekend, Saturday and Sunday from 10. But right now it's 1 o'clock, time for Sunday Afternoon with Simon Delaney.
Thank you very much, as always, George, for the gorgeous music this morning. Right then, all aboard.
Sunday Afternoon with Simon Delaney on RTE Lyric FM.
Yes, hello and welcome along to a very special Sunday afternoon with me, Simon Delaney, here on RTÉ Lyric FM. It is Sunday the 2nd of March and it is our first birthday. Yes, this very weekend last year we started this new radio journey together and it has been an absolute joy to share some of my favourite music with you, and more important than that, I loved you sharing some of your favourite music with me. Let's get the party started, shall we? Happy Sunday and happy birthday.
So, as I say, we've covered the islands, but Anish, Ciola Commodore, Mór Éire na Cealla, and another of the great Irish composers, and it'd be remiss of us, certainly in Classic Rod, not to have something from this wonderful composer, Sean O'Riordan, and founder of Ceoltóirí Chulainn, and one of his most recognisable pieces for you now, this beautiful air performed Many of you know with Stanley Kubrick's Barry Lyndon, with that version by the Chieftains. Well, this evening on Classic Drive with Lisanne Melchior on viola, and we have on Fadogstan Emma Roach on Bertakai Shenem and the instrument Shin. So I hope you're going to enjoy this. So this, ladies and gentlemen, Radio Telefisher and Kjolir and Kjolkurum, August Commodore Sinead Hayes, Le Mana na Heron.
I love the fight sequence in it, but I'll remember those moments, like Ridley, Denzel in a room. Never one camera with Ridley, it's always about five or six, but that kind of working with greats like that on such an intimate level was extraordinary.
And in Limerick, there's an inbound queue on the Ennis Road and on the Ballysimon Road as well, between the Gary Glass roundabout and the Tipperary roundabout. And that's the latest traffic and travel news.
Traffic and travel.
That's a tongue twister in itself.
Oh, it is. Speaking of which, linkage. Speaking of which, we did this earlier on, you and I taking a line each. We do it together, see what happens.
Oh, let's do it.
This is a tongue twist. This is about Betty. Betty Botter and her buying butter. Are you ready? Will we go for
ready.
It?
Ready. Okay, you count us in.
One, two, three.
Betty Botter bought some butter, but she said this butter's bitter. If I put it in my batter, it will make my batter bitter. But a bit of better butter will surely make my batter better. So she bought a bit of butter, better than her bitter butter, and she put it in her batter. And her batter was not bitter. So it was better, Betty Botter bought a bit of better butter.
That was so much fun. Oh, now listen, on top of everything else, that's great fun. I think it's the chocolate. That's as high as
gone to our heads.
Yeah, the other one is someone just sent in a tongue twister, Oscailge.
Oh, go on.
Now, I don't know who this is.
Like, Shacht na Gaelge, Marty. Lee Ban Egg Joe. Is Lee Banjo Egg Joe. Is Lee Banjo Egg Banjo. A bar go Joe, or a manjo. No banjo, or a manjo.
Did he have a banjo?
He had a banjo and he had a wife.
Oh, did he?
So, well, I tell you what that means.
Please, just in case.
So Joe had a wife.
Yes.
Joe had a banjo.
Okay.
And Joe's wife had a banjo.
All right.
And Joe was way better at the banjo than the wife. Joe's wife ever was on the banjo.
Oh, I see.
It's a good one, though, isn't it?
That's very good.
We banic Joe, banjo and Joe, banjo and banjo, bargado, Joe or a manjo, no banjo or a manjo, gado.
Banjoed. You'd be banjoed. Listen to that.
We'd be banjax.
I am already. That was a great crack. It was great.
We'll have to get another one for the 9:20 bulletin.
Oh, merciful hour. I'm only fit for the bed. Only fit for the bed. Talk to you in a bit.
Okay, slow.